Hey, good Friday morning, everyone. Welcome into Morning Invest. Hope you are doing well on this Friday. We have got a jam-packed show. I had to be like pruning stuff today, cutting stuff, because we have so much news to get to this morning. So welcome in. We're going to start the show this morning with the Biden rollout of this compromised stimulus plan. I say compromised because, yeah, what happened to the $2,000 stimulus checks? We'll get to that, my impressions of that, why it's smaller than we actually need. What's going on here? Didn't you guys just win an election? I'm going to rail against this a little bit this morning. We're also going to talk about Mitch McConnell. He moves closer to convicting President Trump in this impeachment hearing. And will he call the Senate back sooner? Mitch McConnell has just been given like a huge piece of leverage that he's going to likely use with both Democrats and President Trump. So we'll get into what's going on with Mitch McConnell this morning. We're also learning much more, of course, about those Capitol riots. Dozens of people, it turns out, were on the terror watch list. So how in the world were they getting tours of the Capitol building if they were on a terror watch list? The FBI knew about this. So much more unfolding about this and the impending trouble that the FBI and the National Guard are worrying about this morning in Washington, D.C., as the inauguration approaches, plus moving trucks, folks. You know, normally we do sort of a countdown here this morning on our show, about a 10-minute warm-up countdown. But unfortunately, David, my producer, his internet is down today. Yesterday, we had a major power outage here, so everything collapsed. So I don't know what's going on. And it's not even Mercury retrograde yet. So normally we have like a bit of a countdown timer. So I don't have that today. But what I do have is this. Here is a countdown timer for President Trump being evicted from the White House. Look at this countdown. He's getting evicted in 5 days and 3 hours, 10 minutes and 30 seconds. On top of that, there were all sorts of moving trucks at the White House yesterday, and a bunch of people basically walking out and taking stuff that shouldn't have been taken. We're going to show you like the camera footage of these people like running out of the White House carrying stuff that did not belong to them. This is America. Welcome to it. And welcome to our chat today. Good to see everyone here on this Friday. Like I said, David's internet is down. My producer, normally we'd have some music and countdown timers. So it's been crazy the past 2 days. I'm telling you, like tech problems, power outages, internet outages, and we don't live anywhere near each other. I mean, we are thousands of miles away. Maybe it's the authorities don't want us to tell the truth here. You know, maybe they don't like us actually telling the truth. They want us to fall in line, act like the normal mainstream media, just fall in line, fall in love with President-elect Biden, just stick to this narrative and don't tell the truth. So thank you for supporting independent journalism. That's what this show is all about. And I really appreciate your support. We do a daily newsletter also. And we had, of course, tech problems earlier this week on that. It's like been a week of tech problems. But our newsletter is easy to get. And we had almost 1,000 of you sign up for it yesterday. You can go to morninginvest.com is our website. We deliver it to you first thing in the morning. And what's funny about today's newsletter, and this is no lie, my wife and I, Natalie, we wrote this newsletter by candlelight because we still didn't have power early this morning. So this was probably the first email newsletter in history written by candlelight. Felt like the dark ages this morning. So we've got a lot of news to get to today. So welcome in on this Friday. Good to see all of you. By the way, we have new chapter things. If you're watching the show on a replay, which many of you get to see this show later on in the day and you watch it on a replay, you'll notice in the description there's different chapter markings. So as we talk about different topics, you can fast forward and click on those to go to the next topic. And when we do our normal pre-show, which is what we do at the beginning, and we usually have our countdown timer, you can just click on and go right past that to the first bit of news. So I want to make that little public announcement for all of you this morning. So let's get to the news in a moment. But first, I want to tell you about today's show sponsor. And it's a new sponsor to the show, IP Vanish. IP Vanish is a virtual private network. Boy, we need safety more than ever right now so that you can browse the internet, keep authorities from looking into your computer, hackers from looking into your computer. You can use a VPN on your computers, tablets, phones, even things like your Fire Stick, your Chromecast or your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. When you use a VPN, all of your data is encrypted. Whatever you're reading, whatever you're searching, whatever you're watching, whatever it is you're doing, banking, etc., all of it can be blocked, watched, so you never have to have, you can search, you know, surf the web without a trace. IPVanish is going to give you guys, just for watching, they're going to give you guys 65% off. 65% off. That's right. And you can do it by going to ipvanish.com/morninginvest. So we'll have this in the show description. Just go to ipvanish.com/morninginvest to get 65% off. That's only $27 a year. You have to use a VPN, folks. I'm telling you, in this day and age, you have to. Here's everything you're going to get. You're going to get an anonymous IP address. Your personal IP address can't be tracked by anyone then. It'll circumvent any online censorship. IPVanish has more than 1,500 servers in 70 locations, and it gives you protection when you're on public Wi-Fi. That means no one can snoop on what you're doing. 24/7 support. You can email them, call them, chat with them. They're there to help. So go check it out right now. Time to sign up with our discount. IPVanish.com/morninginvest. Love these guys. Thank you for your support of the show. All right, let's get to the news this morning, shall we? Let's start with the stimulus. So President-elect Biden last night in a primetime address, I wish I could have been there and covered it, but we had a power outage. President-elect Biden rolled out his massive package last night, $1.9 trillion stimulus plan that offered sort of a wish list of spending measures meant to help people in the economy recover from the coronavirus pandemic, and state and local aid, more generous unemployment benefits, mass vaccinations. Before we run through all of sort of some of the hidden things that are in here and a lot of the different provisions that didn't get much coverage last night, I want to hear from the president-elect. Let's listen to how he addressed this issue and rolled out this plan.
A growing number of top economists has shown even our debt situation will be more stable, not less stable, if we seize this moment with vision and purpose. And so tonight, I'd like to talk to you about our way forward, a two-step plan of rescue and recovery, a two-step plan to build a bridge to the other side of the crisis we face to a better, stronger, more secure America. Tonight, I'll lay out my first step, the American Rescue Plan, that will tackle the pandemic and get direct financial assistance and relief to Americans who need it the most. I will lay out our vaccination plan to correct course and meet our goal of 100 million shots at the end of my first 100 days as president. This will be one of the most challenging operational efforts we have ever undertaken as a nation. We'll have to move heaven and earth to get more people vaccinated, to create more places for them to get vaccinated, to mobilize more medical teams to get shots in people's arms, to increase vaccine supply, and to get it out the door as fast as possible. We'll also do everything we can to keep our educators and students safe, to safely reopen a majority of our K through 8 schools by the end of the first 100 days. We need to make sure that workers who have COVID-19 symptoms are quarantined, and those who need to take care of their family members with COVID-19 symptoms should be able to stay home from work and still get paid. This will reduce the spread of the virus and make sure workers get the support they need to maintain their families. Our rescue plan also includes immediate relief to Americans hardest hit and most in need. We will finish the job of getting a total of $2,000 and cash relief to people who need it the most. The $600 already appropriated is simply not enough. You just have to choose between paying rent and putting food on the table. We'll also provide more peace of mind for struggling families by extending unemployment insurance beyond the end of March for millions of workers. That means that 18 million Americans currently rely on unemployment benefits while they look for work can count on these checks continuing to be there. Plus, there will be a $400 per week supplement so people can make ends meet. 1 in 7 households in America More than one in five Black and Latino households in America report they don't have enough food to eat. This includes 30 million adults and as many as 12 million children. It's wrong. It's tragic. It's unnecessary. It's unacceptable. So we're going to extend emergency nutritional assistance for 43 million children and their families enrolled in the SNAP program through the rest of this year. Approximately 14 million Americans have fallen behind on rent, many at risk of eviction. If we don't act now, there'll be a wave of evictions and foreclosures in the coming months as the pandemic rages on. This would overwhelm emergency shelters, increase COVID-19 infections as people have nowhere to go and can't socially distance. Next week, we'll take action to extend nationwide restrictions on evictions and foreclosures. Our rescue plan will provide flexible grants to help those hardest hit small businesses survive the pandemic, and the low-cost capital that will help entrepreneurs of all backgrounds create and maintain jobs, plus provide the essential goods and services that communities depend upon. Direct cash payments, extended unemployment insurance, rent relief, food assistance, keeping essential frontline workers on the job, aid to small businesses. These are the key elements to the American Rescue Plan that would lift 12 million Americans out of poverty and cut child poverty in half. And oh, I know what I just described has not come cheaply, but failure to do so will cost us dearly. The consensus among leading economists is we simply cannot afford not to do what I'm proposing. Independent, respected institutions from around the world, from the Federal Reserve to the International Monetary Fund, have underscored the urgency. Even Wall Street firms have reinforced the logic. If we invest now boldly, smartly, and with unwavering focus on American workers and families, we will strengthen our economy, reduce inequity, and put our nation's long-term finances on the most sustainable course. So come Wednesday, we begin a new chapter. The Vice President-elect and I will do our best to meet all the expectations you have for the country and the expectations we have for it. I'm confident. I am truly confident. Together, we can get this done and come out better off than when we went into this crisis. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops.
So President-elect last night speaking in a primetime address on the stimulus package that he's rolling out. Let me take a couple of different approaches. I'll give you my complaints about this in a minute. I want to run through a lot of the big provisions in this. What are some of the hidden items that did not get a lot of coverage last night? So I'll go through those in a minute. But first, just at a high level, I have to say, it's kind of refreshing, isn't it? It's kind of refreshing that we had a president who didn't spiral off script and start, you know, talking about himself, spiraling off script and bashing people and what it, he stuck to the program, you know. He stuck to the program, which was economic stimulus. And actually, let me give you a little behind the scenes from a reporter's point of view, what happened earlier in the day. So earlier in the day, journalists, reporters were briefed on what was to be unveiled later, a few hours later. Okay. They were given a heads up. And President-elect Biden stuck to the script. He was on point. Okay. And then about an hour after this speech, a lot of the big trade organizations and big businesses and so forth came out with press releases throwing their support behind this plan, almost as if it had been organized. See, what happened behind the scenes is that they briefed business leaders on this plan. They briefed CEOs. They briefed chambers of commerce. They briefed trade organizations and others and members of Congress on this. And they got on the same page, okay? And then they briefed reporters, and then they gave the speech. And now, I know that sounds a little formulaic, but maybe after 4 years of it being absolute shit show, maybe this is kind of what we need right now. A little bit more of a formula, okay? So on that piece of it, I'm kind of like, that's nice. That's nice, you know? And so we get to have some of that again. And so then these big companies came out with their press releases, and members of the Senate and Congress and others said, we support this plan, almost as if they had negotiated this ahead of time. Instead of having a bull in a china shop randomly throwing out tweets with random BS, right? So that piece of it was nice. Now, let me give you the pieces that are hidden in this before we get any further. And I'll give you what I don't like about it in a minute and some of the hypocrisy here in it. And as you know, if you watch my show for any length of time, I'm an equal opportunity offender. I will call BS on both sides. I am not afraid to, because I don't have any corporate overlords telling me one way or the other to do that. So thanks to our new channel members today. I see four new channel members. If you'd like to become a channel member, you can do so by going to morninginvest.com/join. That's how you can support independent journalism. Thank you so much. All right, let's go through some of the biggest provisions in this stimulus plan and how they would work and what it might mean for the United States economy as we are just struggling through surging coronavirus cases, partial state shutdowns and lockdowns, states that are now hemorrhaging money left and right, and a jobs report that we saw last week, which was just abysmal. Okay, so let's put that headline number in some context for you. $1.9 trillion. It sounds like a lot of money, right? It sounds like a lot of money, but if you just think about it, Congress passed a $900 billion relief program a few weeks ago, and its package back in March was also about $2 trillion, so about the same. So by way of a major financial crisis spending package, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009 was only $800 billion. So think about it, right? We've already passed a series of things that far outweigh that one back in 2009. So right now, the administration, one of the big headline takeaways is the administration is looking for $1,400 checks. I'll have more on that in a minute. Don't you worry. Biden is also trying to make good on the promise to send more money to households in the form of those one-time checks, you know, sending out this $1,400 per person under certain income thresholds, topping off that $600 that came in December. So it's a combination of the $600 from December, $1,400 would be new. Again, I'll get to my anger on that piece in a moment. He also wants unemployment insurance supplements of $400 a week. Again, I'll get to my anger over that in just a moment. So $400 a week in unemployment insurance. Biden is also asking Congress to extend the emergency unemployment insurance program through the end of September. Right now, they're set to expire in March. Okay. Again, why not go through the entire, why not have it sunset when this pandemic is done? How about that? There's an idea, but I'll get to these ideas in a second. So they're saying, you know, a $400 unemployment insurance supplement to help those hard hit workers is what he said. That amount is higher than what lawmakers included in the December stimulus plan, which was only $300 of supplement for 11 weeks. Okay, but it's lower than the $600 weekly benefit that was passed back in March. Paul Krugman, economist from the New York Times, opinion columnist, says that that we need to like look at we need to look closer at how this is going to affect our economy. I haven't really appreciated his comments as of late. I think he's been off base. So take these things with a grain of salt, as you have Paul Krugman and other sort of mainstream economists weighing in on some of this stuff. Schools, here's another piece of this, could get money to reopen. So the administration says it wants to make the necessary investments to meet the president-elect's goal of safely reopening a majority of kindergarten to eighth grade schools within the first 100 days in office. I mean, how many of you watching right now, let me know in the chat, have kids that are home, have been doing virtual schooling? Have they been falling behind? I mean, I would love to hear your experience. Drop me a comment below and let me know. I just can tell you my experience when the kids are home doing their virtual schooling. You know, it's like 70% of the way there. 60, I mean, our school has done a really great job when in the spring they had virtual learning. Now they're back to school full time and it's just night and day difference. You know, like my son is like learning how to play the cello, right? And you can't do that virtually in that same experience. He would have never have gotten that opportunity. And so I just know how night and day difference it is by having these virtual versus home experiences. Administration officials want $170 billion for schools. Now they're going to supplement that by adding additional state and local money as well. So about $130 billion of that would go towards reopening schools, and much of the rest of that money would go to help to colleges dealing with a shift to distance learning and other pandemic-related problems that they have. All right, let's talk about the minimum wage. Another, after holding steady at $7.25 for over a decade, by the way. Yeah, a decade. Can you believe that crap? The federal minimum wage would rise to $15 per hour under this proposal, which would also end the tipped minimum wage and sub-minimum wage for people with disabilities. So that's great. So that means that the tipped minimum wage, which is like $2.13, right? $2.13, just because you get a tip. It's going to end that for people with disabilities. Many states and localities already have raised their own wages anyway. States are growing. Florida has, I mean, California. So, you know, this would be the federal standard. It's not how quickly, we're not sure actually how quickly this would actually phase in, by the way. Back in 2019, the Congressional Budget Office suggested that raising the minimum wage to $15 nationally could increase pay for tens of millions of workers. Perhaps 1.3 million people who would otherwise work would not be, in part because employers might reduce payroll. So they said it could actually force people out of work. We've never seen any evidence of that actually happening, by the way. And so I love when the mainstream media throws in these little nuggets about it could, but we've never seen evidence that it actually has. If anything, it improves the overall work conditions. It improves output. The whole thing is lifted. The entire economy is lifted as a result of that. I mean, after all, Florida just voted to do it. So state and localities could also get some massive help. So if you're just tuning in, we're going through some of the major bullet points of the economic stimulus package that President-elect Biden rolled out, some of the things that did not get much attention, some of the hidden items. And no, I'm not drinking a Guinness. This is my iced coffee. My throat's a little dry today. It's just been a little rough January. So excuse me if I get a little swig of iced coffee here. Let's talk about state and local aid. Biden's plan would provide $440 billion to help communities, according to the administration numbers that we're looking at this morning, including funds for schools reopening. So that would be in addition to the school funds. The relief plan would give billions in grants and loan programs for small businesses. And how those would work is not entirely clear yet. We're still trying to get some answers on that. There'd be $350 billion in emergency funding for state, local, and territorial governments as well. Now, on the state and local piece, they've had revenues decline less as a whole than once anticipated, but they've taken really an uneven financial hit from the pandemic. They have significantly reduced payrolls. Now, we're talking about payrolls, for instance, at the state and local level, like state unemployment offices or areas where you need to go, you know, to the DMV or other places like that. So they've had to cut state payrolls because they are hemorrhaging cash. That means not only is it a job loss, but it's also an important service that you need access to, right? Maybe an unemployment office worker to take a phone call, or going to get something renewed, your license renewed at the DMV, et cetera, or just municipal workers taking out the trash, firefighters, police officers. I mean, they employ about 13% of America's workers. Okay, 13% do state and local governments. But I think overshadowing everything that President-elect Biden talked last night was about vaccinations. $160 billion in funding for a national vaccination program, expanded testing, public health care jobs program meant to fight the virus, according to the administration's summary on their website. The plan would invest $20 billion in a national vaccination program in partnership with states and localities and the tribes and territories so that everyone can get a free shot regardless of their immigration status. About $50 billion would go towards improving testing overall, and $40 billion would be earmarked for shoring up protective gear and supplies. It would also be used for deploying emergency personnel response, supply manufacturing, etc. It would also increase on paid leave. So Biden would renew paid leave provisions that were not extended as part of that December package. So, you know, it would also eliminate exemptions for big and small employers. The plan would allow basically 14 weeks of paid sick and family and medical leave for caregivers that are dealing with, you know, closed schools or closed care centers. And then it would also provide a $1,400 leave benefit for eligible workers. So there's a lot in this, folks, that we didn't get, that wasn't covered last night, like the state and local leave sections. State and local governments and employers with fewer than 500 employees would be reimbursed for the cost. They'd get that money back in a refundable tax credit. And this emergency leave provision actually would last through the end of September. So again, these things being pushed till the end of September. And parents, this is a big piece too. Pay attention to this one. Parents would also get pretty big financial help. So the plan would temporarily increase the size of tax credits for more families, and it would make them refundable, meaning people would get cash even if they do not earn enough to owe income taxes, which is a big deal. So under this expanded child tax credit, families with children up to the age of 13 could receive a total of up to $4,000 for one child or $8,000 for two or more children. So families making less than $125,000 per year would get the full credit. That's a pretty large tax credit. $8,000? And while those earning up to $400,000 would receive a partial credit. So these are just some of the hidden item agendas, hidden items in this first plan. Now, bear in mind, folks, this is just the first plan that we're going to see. We're going to see a whole lot more in the coming weeks, but this is the first stimulus plan under Team Biden. Now, let me do a little criticism here. I wouldn't be fair if I did not criticize. So some of the things that I have a problem with here are, hey, you campaigned on $2,000 stimulus checks, right? Vote for these guys. Vote for these guys. You're going to get $2,000 checks. But I guess what we mean is $2,000 total between this new check and the one you got back in December. Okay, so just kind of look the other way. What we meant was $1,400 now and take the $600 you got back in December, stick it together, and there's your $2,000 stimulus checks. No bueno. Let's just be clear. A one-time check of $2,000 still is far short of what we need. I mean, COVID right now is mutating due to its uncontrolled spread. So now there's multiple variants of COVID showing up, possibly moving towards a vaccine resistance, according to experts. We must lock things down and get this thing under control, ramp up vaccinations, keep people from circulating, and pay people so Americans have sustained aid. I mean, imagine winning an election on the promise of $2,000 stimulus checks at a time when the country is on the verge of a full-blown depression and hundreds of thousands have died. We're almost hitting that 400,000 mark of deaths in this country. And we're basically now, Team Biden is trying to weasel out of this on a technicality. Make no mistake, that's what they're doing. They're trying to weasel out of this in order to try to get curry Republican support on this. Screw Republicans. Like, I know you want to do this on a bipartisan basis. Great. That's admirable. But you just want elections, okay? You just want a massive election. President Trump and the Republicans have just been handed one of the largest and worst historic defeats of a sitting president in history. You won the presidency, you won the Senate, and these two most recent runoff races in Georgia were won on the idea of passing $2,000 stimulus checks. So to weasel out of this by saying that this is a $1,400 check, oh yeah, and it'll be $2,000 because we gave you $600 a few weeks ago. By the way, many of you didn't even receive the $600 because the IRS screwed that up and sent it to wrong bank accounts. Like, let me know in the chat, by the way, how many of you still haven't received the $600 check? So wouldn't it have been bold, brash, ballsy to come out there and say, you know what, we're going the opposite direction. $2,000 checks is what we're calling for, almost doing it like a Steve Jobs style keynote. What we're announcing today is an internet communicator, an iPod, and a telephone. And guess what? They're not three different things. They're one thing. And we're calling it iPhone. And everyone's mind exploded. What if he went out there and said, there's been a lot of talk about these $2,000 stimulus checks. So yes, we're going to do that. But we're not just going to do it one time. No, we're not just going to do it two times. We're going to do it through the end of the year. So what happened? What happened, Joe? What happened to all of this guts of winning an election? What happened?
I mean, what happened? Did your balls drop off?
Exactly, Joker. Exactly. Just a reminder, Biden's final pitch to Georgia voters, vote blue and get a $2,000 check. It'll go out the door immediately. It'll go out the door immediately.
Cops and lawyers wouldn't dare cross any of you.
So what happened?
I mean, what happened? Did your balls drop off?
Exactly. Why do you need Republicans? Answer me. You just lost. This is what it reminds me of. Right? Here we are in the middle, leaning towards the left, thinking, oh, you know, they're going to stand up for us, right? These guys are going to stand up. This is always what it is, isn't it? This is always what it is. Grover's not happy about it either. This is the kind of crap that we see on a regular basis. So, Democrats caved. I mean, I don't know how else to read it. And by the way, even with these numbers, it's no surety that Republicans are going to pass it. Even Marco Rubio last week, or earlier this week, sent a letter to Joe Biden saying, wouldn't it be great if on the first day you get in, you call for $2,000 stimulus checks from both houses of Congress? Wouldn't it be great? A senator, Republican, Marco Rubio even called for it. So we will look at this moving forward. No surety yet exactly when this will get pushed. As soon as he is inaugurated on Wednesday, likely right after that on Wednesday, he said we're going to go full bore crazy, get things done. So hopefully we'll see this stimulus package roll out very quickly after that. But you know, I hope that, and there's some people too that I'm wondering about their cojones this morning. You know, Bernie Sanders. I would show you the clip of Bernie Sanders last night on Stephen Colbert's show, but CBS is a pain in my ass because anytime I show a CBS clip, we end up getting a copyright problem. So it could be a 60 Minutes interview. It could be, they're pains in the butts. It's like they live in the dark ages and they don't want us to cover their different shows. So anyway, Bernie Sanders was on Colbert last night, and I'll paraphrase. He says, yeah, I support, it's a good step. I support the $1,400. This is coming from a guy that called along with Ed Markey and Kamala Harris for $2,000 stimulus checks until the pandemic is done. Oh, and by the way, it would be retroactive back to March. What happened? What happened, Bernie?
Cops and lawyers wouldn't dare cross any of you. What happened? Did your balls drop off?
Yeah, Bernie, what's going on with you guys? You're also now stepping away from pushing for Medicare for all? This is why this show, this is why I'm passionate about doing this show and all of you who watch and starting this movement of pushing these progressive ideas on Capitol Hill. We need to keep our foot on the gas. We need to make the demands of these people. We need to make phone calls to these people. We need to make our voices heard because it works. When you rise up and you put the pressure on members of Congress, they listen. Especially when we overwhelm them, like we did with Joe Manchin last week. Or earlier this week. So these types of things and these moments are important. Let's talk about Mitch McConnell this morning. Because he has got some strong leverage. And he is going to play that fiddle for quite a while. Mitch McConnell, you know, Donald Trump had a nice run of it. Pretty good run up in Washington, you know, sort of running through the halls of Washington, the Republican Party, driving the media to distraction, making Democrats all pissed off. Treating the Senate like he's got people carrying his, you know, his luggage around, right? And there, I've had a prediction here for the past week or so, I mean, which is I think that Senator Mitch McConnell, as the new minority leader, is going to make it his mission to ruin Trump's political future. Now, McConnell needs just 18 votes to finish off Trump and convicting him of impeachment. And if he does that, it would bring a ban on holding federal office ever again, which includes, of course, the presidency. He needs 2/3 majority, 67 votes for a conviction. That means 18 votes if Democrat Joe Manchin goes along with it, or if he opposes it, then it'd be 17. You know, if he opposes it, it'd be 18. If he goes for it, Manchin goes for it, it'd be 17. So McConnell would want to get to 68 votes so that no Republican could be accused of being the one that voted to convict Trump. So why in the world should McConnell and the Republican senators convict? It's a good question, right? Because Republicans allowing Trump to continue to be eligible to run for president is a huge disaster waiting to happen for Republicans. Trump basically cannot win in a general election because the combination of the events at the Capitol Hill, at the Capitol riots, and being kicked off social media platform is fatal for him. But that doesn't mean he can't get the GOP nomination in 2024, right? The way the Republican primary system is structured would actually help a candidate like Trump, who has this really strong, dedicated base, even if it's a minority of the party. We see what happens in these primaries. GOP primaries and caucuses, here's what's wacky about it. They actually award a disproportionate share of delegates to the top vote getter. And in some states, the winner takes all. So think about that for a minute. In 2020, Trump failed to get even 1/3 of the vote in South Carolina, but that was enough to lead the field. And he collected all 50 delegates. So he didn't even get 1/3 of the vote in South Carolina. It didn't matter, though. It was enough to lead the field, and he collected all 50 delegates. In fact, Trump failed to get a majority of the Republican vote in any state or caucus until his home state of New York voted in April. Isn't that crazy? Trump won 10 states with less than 40% of the vote in the primaries. With two, he won with less than 35%. So in total, Trump failed to crack 40% in 22 states. If you had people like Jeb Bush, John Kasich, Carly Fiorina, if they had dropped out early, either Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio were in a stronger position to actually beat Trump. But if Trump holds on to just 35% of the Republican electorate in this crowded field of like 20 people or 15 people chops up sort of the anti-Trump vote, Trump might win again. And at the very least, he draws out the nominating process and hurts the eventual nominee overall, whoever it ends up being. There's a recent poll from Morning Consult, which says that Trump with 40% of Republicans for 2024. He has 40% of support among Republicans for 2024. So there's a couple of key points here. This is mostly just a name recognition number, right? People know his name and they're going to just put his name. They're going to put his name associated with that, their vote. Number two, Given that Trump got 94% of the Republican vote, a 54-point collapse is pretty terrible. But that 40% is like having a really hardcore base of people. So importantly, Republicans need to remember that their roles were reversed. Trump would vote to convict without hesitation. Think about it. If McConnell was in this situation, Trump would absolutely, I mean, how many people would disagree with me? Let me know in the chat. McConnell would, if the shoe were on the other foot, wouldn't Trump just vote to convict without a doubt, without hesitation? He would not pause for a second to do this, right? Trump has always acted in his own self-interest 100% of the time. So if the GOP does not convict him, what they are doing is opening themselves up for a massive nightmare in 2024. And quite frankly, 2022 in the midterm elections, as Team Trump tries to go out and try to primary a lot of these candidates. So I'm telling you folks, watch for Mitch McConnell. He's got an enormous amount of power right now to end Trump's career forever. It's going to happen. Something fishy is going on. And Mitch McConnell leaking all of that information to anonymous sources last week was just the first step in this whole process. How many of you disagree with me? I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Let me know your thoughts on this. By the way, here is the countdown timer. President Trump is getting evicted from the White House in 5 days, 2 hours, 30 minutes. It's kind of fun to watch this countdown timer, isn't it? Grover likes this countdown timer as well. He's been staring at it all morning. I guess it's no surprise that we're already seeing moving trucks pulling up to the White House. There's already moving vans at the White House. People loading stuff up, getting stuff out of here, boxes and everything else. Staffers and so forth are filling up these plastic containers and cleaning out their offices. 5 days left. Little hand trucks and wheelies. Paintings. But so much has been made over the past 24 hours of people basically stealing stuff out of the White House. So check this out. Here's Peter Navarro caught on camera. White House advisor Peter Navarro leaves the West Wing of the White House with a photograph. U.S. President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping in Washington. Just grabbed it. I'm taking this. I'm taking this home with me. But here's my favorite. Someone just walks out the front door of the White House right past the Marine Guard with a bust of Abraham Lincoln in their arms. Like, hey, let's just grab this stuff. Let's just grab whatever we can find and just run out real quick. Oh. I want to talk about the DC riots for a minute. A majority of the watch-listed individuals, we're getting more word now on this whole thing. So, you know, these watch-listed individuals, there were dozens of them who were on the terrorist watch list. We're in D.C. that day. The majority of the watch-listed individuals in Washington that day are suspected white supremacists, according to the FBI, whose past conduct, like, alarmed investigators so much so that their names have been previously entered into the National Terrorist Screening Database, or the TSDB, which is a massive set of names that are flagged as potential security risks. Now, the watch list, it should be noted, is larger and separate from that no-fly government list, the no-fly list that prevents people from terror suspects from boarding airplanes. And those listed are not automatically barred from any public or commercial spaces, but they can still go to those things. But the presence of so many watch-listed individuals in one place without more like robust security measures in place to protect the public is another example of just a monumental intelligence failure ahead of last week's assault at the Capitol that sent like lawmakers running for their lives, hiding under desks. Think about that. The revelation followed this Washington Post report earlier this week that showed that the FBI failed to act aggressively on an internal intelligence report about internet discussions about plans to attack Congress. They said they were going to smash down windows, break down doors, get violent. Quote, go there and get ready for war, these online discussion groups in the organizing leading up to this. And we now know, we now know what was unfolding inside the Capitol, where ahead of time, in the night ahead of time, there were Capitol tours being given. And I want to find out, and we're sort of piecing this together now, is, was anybody on the terrorist watch list given a reconnaissance tour the night before? And now we also know that a number of undercover police officers, off-duty cops from all over the country, were in D.C. during the Capitol attempt, coup attempt. Think about that for a second. Maybe that explains why so many of these people were taking selfies with members of the D.C. police. Hey, let's take some selfies together. You're a police officer, so am I, but don't tell anyone. Now the Capitol is like, looks like a war zone. These are all the people, all the National Guard troops right now sleeping on the floors of the Capitol. Upwards of 20,000 are set to be covering the inauguration. There are huge concerns about further violence during Joe Biden's inauguration. The National Mall is going to be shut down during the inauguration. So no crowds. No crowds allowed at the National Mall. 20,000 armed troops in D.C. as fears of additional violence from these online forums where people are saying they're coming no matter what. We're coming. We don't care if there's troops there. We're coming. To try to prevent Joe Biden from being inaugurated? Good luck with that. Where is Trump going to be on that day? We got news on this morning. President Trump plans to fly away from the White House to Mar-a-Lago on the morning of the Biden inauguration. Getting out of Dodge. Getting out of Dodge. And the amount of charges he could end up facing. This week, we learned also from reporting that his staff had encouraged him to resign. They were comparing him to Nixon. As we reported in the newsletter this morning, he has now banned any of his staff. He's now banned any of his staff from saying the words Nixon in his presence. So don't even say the words Nixon. But he does not want to resign, even though his staff members have told him, you'd be better to resign. That way Mike Pence could probably pardon you. At least get a pardon for some of the federal issues that you're going to be facing. And of course, the guy, QAnon shaman guy with the horns and everything else, he has now asked President Trump for a pardon. He's called on President Trump to pardon him because he says that he came to Washington because Trump asked him to come. And I was just, you know, I went to the Capitol because the president asked us to. So I'm ready. You know, Mr. President, pardon me. There's also sedition. A number of other charges could be brought against these individuals. We're learning this morning that sedition might be on the list of charges they face. So what we're learning is that some of these early charges are pretty small, like trespassing, things like that. But that federal prosecutors are saying that bigger charges are coming as they're piecing all of this together, because now they're drawing these connections between different people who were organizing ahead of time. There are former members of the military, current members of the military who were there, who were had tactical gear, earpieces. How do you not know that this is coming, right? This is the stuff that bothers me. It's that you've got dozens of people on the FBI terrorist watch list who, you know, who are being monitored. We know they are. One big story I want to get to, though, today is about the money. This I find fascinating. Republicans this morning are scrambling. So you may say to yourself, if you're watching, you say, why would Republicans want to, why would they want to convict President Trump in an impeachment hearing? Well, I already gave you the Mitch McConnell angle on all of this, right? Which is to keep him from ever running again. And Republicans would love nothing more than to have that happen. The other big piece of this is the money. So follow the money, of course. So all of these Republican donors, Republicans right now are scrambling to contain the fallout as dozens and dozens of donors are freezing their political contributions and completely distancing themselves from these lawmakers who voted to overturn the Electoral College results. Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz, the list goes on. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who voted to reject the electoral votes from Arizona and Pennsylvania. He's been calling existing donors like, I'm sorry, I'm just, you know, I'm trying to calm you down, saying that despite the riots at the Capitol, that it was just an effort to impede the transition of power, that he and his party can work and work with the incoming Biden administration. But a lot of these big companies are not buying it. And they've indicated that a lot of these businesses are saying, no way. And they're not resuming their contributions to Republicans who objected to the presidential election results. McCarthy made a round of calls to donors on Wednesday, according to multiple sources. At least one call was made up of friendly major donors who largely didn't push back. The leader's remarks seemed more scripted than not, though. He took three questions and then had to run to the airport, according to sources. So everyone's saying, oh, he's just trying to calm down donors. I think he's trying to assure them that they want to work with President Biden, and the vote did not mean that they won't support Biden's initiatives like infrastructure, debt ceiling, COVID relief, etc. And of course, McCarthy, in his speech the other day during the impeachment proceedings, said much of the same. Looking forward to working with Biden. Okay, now that your money is drying up, that's fascinating. Corporations right now are targeting 147 GOP lawmakers who voted to challenge the 2020 election results in Arizona or Pennsylvania. Pulling up their money. In fact, one lobbyist described McCarthy's calls to donors, quote, I would equate it to trying to get a plane out of tailspin, trying to level out the wings, he said. But many corporations are not questioning the GOP's ability to work with Democrats. They're trying to distance themselves. Totally. So it's not about them trying to work with Biden. Like, I think they're getting the wrong message here. Like Comcast, for instance, they were a top corporate donor to McCarthy. And they donated $87,000. Comcast is done. They're not contributing any more money. Anyone who voted against the election results, saying that the violence at the Capitol last week was appalling. Could they find retribution by voting to convict President Trump? Perhaps. Blue Cross Blue Shield, also a top donor to McCarthy's leadership PAC, has also rolled back their money. $62,000. The health insurance giant now saying, no, we're suspending contributions. Who voted to undermine our democracy. So all of these big donors saying, look, you know, he's got pressure. He's got pressure on the left. He's got pressure on the center. He's got pressure from the right. And if this money is drying up and these corporations are saying, like Amazon saying, you know what? We're pulling up our money. We gave you $43,000. Amazon's pausing its donations. Blue Cross Blue Shield, Marriott Corporation. They say it's unacceptable what the leadership did to undermine the democratic process. Lots of Republicans right now are on the phone trying to ease tensions right now. Like 147 of them are calling up their donors saying, I'm sorry. And these donors are saying, "So, well, no, you're sorry? We're not donating any more money to you. Good luck. You're on your own. Bye-bye. Bye-bye." Here's a story that really infuriated me this morning. It really infuriated my wife. She couldn't stop talking about it all morning. So here's a widow of John McCain, Cindy McCain, right? She has supported gay marriage. She has thrown her support behind Joe Biden. Well, the Arizona Republican Party is voting on a measure on January 23rd to censure Cindy McCain because of her support for Biden and for same-sex marriage. They say, I mean, this is one of those outrageous stories where you wonder, like, what are you doing to this widow of a war hero, an American senator? What is the Arizona Republican Party doing, wasting its time on something like this? This is your focus right now? They say that McCain has failed to support conservative Republicans like President Trump and has instead, by the way, how the hell would you support Donald Trump if you're the wife of John McCain? Are you crazy? That would be like the most traitorous thing you could do, to support a guy like that, who was openly hostile to your husband, mocked him for his disability, mocked him for being captured during Vietnam. Sure, you're the wife of John McCain. You're going to throw your support behind Trump? Give me a break. They say that Cindy McCain has condemned President Trump for his criticism of her husband and erroneously placed behaviors over actual presidential results. Cindy McCain said future Republican candidates really have to question if the current party leadership represents their philosophy and values. Time for some soul searching in the Arizona GOP. They're going to censure McCain, which is similar to what Maricopa County Republicans debated during committee meeting on Saturday. Like, this is what you've got to do right now? They're suggesting adding McCain to the censure proposal, and the crowd cheered in response because they've already added former Senator Jeff Flake to the list of censuring. You're just going to start censuring random citizens now because you don't agree with them politically? And she's supported LGBT rights for years, by the way. I mean, she's publicly supported same-sex marriage since 2010. She's also, you know, championed, pushed against Don't Ask, Don't Tell, non-discrimination act against people just be on the basis of their sexual orientation. Like, you disagree with somebody, fine. You literally have to take that up in the Arizona Republican Party and censure her in the state of Arizona because she supports gay rights? That's a good look for you right now, Republican Party in Arizona. I got an idea. Hey, how about we're in the middle of a friggin' pandemic and people need help? Why don't you actually, put up legislation or, proposals that actually help people? There's an idea. There's a novel idea. Shocking. I'm just horrified at this kind of story. I mean, this is like, just when you think like America's making great advancements, you look at this kind of crap. This is the kind of stuff that would never happen in any other industrialized country. Think this would happen? Think this would happen in Finland or Canada or Norway? Give me a break. Unbelievable. Here's one other story I wanted to talk to you about this morning. These guys, Ivanka and Jared. So there's a story this morning that I just couldn't believe. The Secret Service has been renting out a $3,000 a month apartment because Ivanka and Jared won't let them use their bathrooms. This is true. Okay. Secret Service agents have had to take money from taxpayers to rent a $3,000 studio apartment in D.C. just because Jared and Ivanka won't let the Secret Service, the people that protect their lives, use their bathroom. Let me explain. This according to the Washington Post. In 2017, after being instructed, they have half, by the way, they have six bathrooms in the house. They have six bathrooms and they won't let them use any of them at their house. The Secret Service detail tried multiple solutions. They're like, okay, we'll come up with a solution, including, well, let's use the bathroom at Vice President Pence's house, which is nearby. Let's go over there to use the bathroom. First of all, if you're Mike Pence, can you imagine? Like, I'm sure he didn't know about this. Maybe he did, but I can't imagine that he did. Imagine if you're Mike Pence and suddenly, like, all these Secret Service people are like coming to use your bathrooms. You're like, why are they, aren't those the Secret Service detail for Ivanka and Jared? Like, why are they coming to use our bathroom? Oh, Jared and Ivanka won't let them. Oh, okay. So they're coming to use my bathroom. So that was one of the solutions. And also they set up a porta potty. These are people that protect your lives. You snot-nosed little... can't use our bathrooms. You got to go use a porta potty. So then in 2017, the Secret Service detail began renting a neighbor's basement studio apartment to solve the problem. So we can't use one of the six of your bathrooms in this house, Ivanka and Jared. We're going to rent a $3,000 a month apartment next door in the basement. I guess what happened is they went over to Vice President Pence's house and someone clogged up the toilet, broke the toilet, had an issue. And so the Secret Service, like, we can't do this anymore. We got to get another solution. So their solution was renting an apartment just so these Secret Service agents could use the restroom. This came at the family's request. The White House, though, denies it. They say this is just another false narrative. Ivanka and Jared made clear that their home would always be open to the incredible men and women of their detail. It was only after a decision by the U.S. Secret Service that made their detail seek other accommodations. Okay. Secret Service and the members in Washington say basically they've taken over like the whole street in Washington. Because they're there constantly. Their cars are constantly there. Now they had to rent an apartment next door so these people could go wee-wee. Thanks, Ivanka. Thanks, Jared, for letting us not use your bathrooms. Apparently, they also... Yeah, so they tried Mike Pence's house. And according to the other report, they went to President Obama's house. And President Obama let them use his bathroom. So I got the bathrooms wrong. They actually broke President Obama's toilet. And then the Secret Service was like, you know what? We need to find a better solution. This isn't right. Like, we're going to use a former president's bathroom because Ivanka and Jared won't let us use theirs. So they tried Mike Pence's. I mean, this is crazy. But just so you know, we can't get you $2,000 stimulus checks. But we can spend $3,000 a month so Secret Service can go to the bathroom instead of using one of the six bathrooms that are readily available in the Kushner's house. Thanks, America. We're always looking out for you. But we'd rather make sure that we've got the bowel movements of our Secret Service taken care of at $3,000 a month so that Ivanka and Jared can be taken care of. Just another reason why, if this guy gets impeached, if President Trump gets impeached, then Secret Service detail will be yanked. Sorry, you'll have to be on your own. You'll have to protect yourself. Hire a private security firm, like Janet Jackson does. But Secret Service and taxpayer dollars will not be used to fund. Not be used to fund your life anymore. So thanks everyone for joining us today. If you are new here, please subscribe to the channel. Love to see all of our new channel members today. Thank you so much for becoming a channel member. You can do so by going to morninginvest.com/join. Very kind of you for subscribing to the channel. Right down here is how you can subscribe. Tap that little icon right there. The good news is my producer, David, his internet is back. Finally, their provider came out and fixed that. So today we will be back for our 4 p.m. show this afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern. Hopefully all of the tech bugs will be out of it. We'll bring you the very latest today. We'll have the latest details and more as we pour through the latest stimulus, as well as the latest on Capitol Hill and so much more for you and your family. So thanks to everyone for joining us today. And thanks to all of you for your kind super chat messages. Tia A says, good morning, everyone. Wow, Shannon Daughter says, the guy that was shown in that pic with the fire extinguisher they were looking for is a retired Chester, Pennsylvania firefighter. Wow. Good old Chester, PA. Daenerys says, I haven't received my $600 stimulus check. I received the first one back in April, direct deposit. What's it even worth if I can't even get them deposited? Yeah, I hear you. Baller says, I wouldn't worry about the vaccine or the variants of COVID. The vaccines will handle it. Yeah, but some of the reports I'm reading this morning are worried that it could become vaccine resistant. Yes, child tax credit is upped also. There does need to be an increase. See, there's a lot of stuff here we need to have, like ups in different programs. Toro Man, thank you for your super chat. My two high schoolers that went from C's, D's, and F's to A's and B's due to homeschooling. Wow, it was a blessing in disguise. Good for you. Madeline Socio says, Twin River Casino just dropped dealers medical due to hours work decrease from COVID. Went from working 40 hours a week down to 24 hours. And now I'm uninsured, shaking my head. I'm sorry, Madeline, to hear that. But that's exactly why, you know, this I'm saying, like, just even $2,000 a month is not enough. Where is Grover? People are asking. Grover is sitting outside sunning himself. He's guard dog. You're getting the vaccine today? Teresa says, I'm getting the vaccine today. Wow. Hey, Tina Cornelius, thank you so much. He said, thank you for all you do. Well, thank you for watching. I couldn't do this show without you guys. Thanks for becoming new channel members today, by the way. Yeah, people are asking, some of you are asking about my dad. My dad has COVID. Yes, he does right now. He suffered a stroke on the 18th of December. He's been in the hospital ever since. And then he was moved to a rehabilitation center the other day, even with COVID. And then two days ago, suffered a seizure. And so had to be moved back to the main hospital. He's 86 years old. We're not sure if they think the seizure, there was no bleeding from it. So I think they think it is COVID related, the seizure. So, yeah. Thank you for your thoughts and prayers on that. Thank you, guys. Very kind. Teresa Connor, good morning to you out in Eureka, California. Thank you. Hey, Lisa Lindsay. We got a whole bunch of new channel members today. Christina Rothamerl. Am I saying that right? Let me see here. Martin Vizcara, nice to see you as a channel member. Lindsay, or Lisa Lindsay, LL, nice to see you. Channel member, new channel member. Yeah, we're trying to get some more details on all of this. Someone just said, let me see the super chat. Lindsay or Linz SLC, thank you for your super chat, says my idiot Trumpkin supporter brother-in-law posted on Facebook to boycott the inauguration. So everyone watch on any and all platforms in a few days. Yes, and I think we're going to do probably a live inauguration show here on the channel. So if you guys want, if you guys would love to, I'd love to have you, if you want to join us, we'll do a live election, or sorry, Inauguration Day show with coverage of the inauguration right here on our channel so we can all get together and watch it together. What do you think? I've covered these. Yes, Candy Nance wants to know if I'm doing an afternoon show. Yes. Mickey9409 is a channel member. Thank you. Christopher Eid, channel member. Curtis Morris, awesome last name. Curtis. Nisi White, thank you for your support. Hano Asako is a new channel member. Thank you, Hana. Singrid Rogers, thank you for becoming a channel member. Keisha McHenry Mitchell is a new channel member. Rogue Veteran 77, thank you for becoming a channel member. Carmina is a new channel member. Igua, am I saying your last name right, Carmina? Igua? Sarah Hogan, thank you so much. Yes, everyone needs to keep calling their representatives and senators. I mean, putting that pressure on is incredibly important. Even with this amount of time left. Thanks to all of our new channel members. Maria says, I usually do my taxes early. Should I wait? There's no reason to wait on organizing your taxes. I mean, if anything, what we do know about the people that paid their taxes early last time is that they had their information on file and it streamlined the process for them being able to get stimulus checks. But then, of course, they also extended the deadline for people. I mean, I don't know if you want to be one of those people that waits for an extension and then they say, we're going to extend it till September again, and you have to deal with it. So it's up to you. I mean, me and my wife are prepping our taxes all year long. Okay. Well, thank you for that. Captain Merce says, is your dad still on oxygen? No, he was never on oxygen. Fortunately, he looked like he was asymptomatic, and then he had this seizure the other night, and they said it's, they believe it, said it is COVID related, right?
What?
The seizure? They weren't sure, I guess, but it wasn't tied to brain bleeding, which is, have to even have that discussion, but thank you for all of your kindness on that. So thank you guys. Well, much love to all of you guys. Don't forget, please sign up for our daily newsletter. Again, it's totally free. Just go to Morning Invest. That's the website, morninginvest.com. We deliver it first thing in the morning, Monday through Friday. You can read it in about 5 to 6 minutes over your cup of coffee. Stay informed with our free newsletter. We'll be back here this afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time with our regular afternoon show. Now that we've got all the power outages and internet outages taken care of, we'll be back live this afternoon with a full show. So I hope to see all of you later today as we deep dive the day's news. We've got a lot that is going to be happening today. So we will be looking for that a little bit later today. Nice to see all of you. Thanks again for joining us. Much love to you, and we'll be back here a little bit later today. Remember, Trump is getting evicted in 5 days and 1 hour.